morning again. May it please the court, my name is John Cicini and I represent Mr. Capo. We're here today because the immigration judge denied Mr. Capo's asylum claim. Mr. Capo comes from a long line of anti-communist participation in Albania. In fact, after World War II, his great uncle was executed by the communist regime, and Mr. Capo has followed in the footsteps of his great uncle, his father, and other family members, where in 1995 he enrolled or became a member of the Democratic Party. And in 1997, he first became involved and was persecuted by Albanian government agencies for his role in the Democratic Party and his political opinion to have a free and open Albania. He entered the United States and applied for asylum. The asylum judge denied his application, even though the immigration judge concluded that Capo's claim is not inconsistent with the country reports in the record. The country reports reflect deeply divided sentiment between communist and anti-communist parties. The immigration judge further went on to say that, quote, that he had considered the inherent plausibility of someone who has been very involved with the Democratic Party in Albania in the claim of persecution based on that involvement and would reach the conclusion that this is also not inconsistent with country conditions as reflected in the record. Mr. Capo testified consistently to five separate incidents in where he was persecuted by Albanian authorities due to his political involvement. And I think it's important to note as well is that the government did not provide any evidence to refute his testimony. And I'm not going to go into all of the five incidences, but they do range from being stopped and slapped around, beaten, to being arrested for what he considers to be bogus claims, to the fact that his uncle was murdered in a vehicle in which he was a passenger in, to his father being beaten because of his political activities as well. So those were consistent testimony that he also provided documents and other witnesses to testify consistently with his testimony. Well, that's what he did, Your Honor. That's true. But in our opinion, we submit that those discrepancies that the judge focused on were minor discrepancies. For example, there was an eyewitness who was from the same region, or I believe the same town, as Mr. Capo. He testified to the fact that he observed the vehicle, he observed the bullet-ridden vehicle. Yet, if you review the record, the immigration judge, I think what he did is that he focused on the fact that the witness did not know Mr. Capo's uncle as well as he initially had testified to. So I submit that the immigration judge focused on that issue instead of looking at the consistency of his testimony to the consistency of the documents that were submitted and Mr. Capo's own testimony. There was a police report that was provided to the court that stated that the government was unable to protect Mr. Capo from these individuals who were torturing him, and that was submitted to the court. It didn't say it in those words, but they basically stated that thought, and under Roman v. INS, I believe it's the Seventh Circuit case, is that if an applicant can show that the government condoned prosecution or persecution or was unable to protect its victims, that could be a basis for asylum. Other, what I would consider... I, I don't know if... He did find that there were discrepancies, Your Honor, and we submit there were minor discrepancies. Again, there was... I think there are two or three, but one of them is a date where it says, I believe in one of the reports it says it was May 26th that the murder of his uncle took place, yet in a newspaper that was published stated, that was published, an article in a newspaper that was published on May 26th stated that this week on Sunday the murder of such and such took place. Well, that Sunday happened to be the May 24th, where Mr. Koppel testified May 26th is when the newspaper article was written. So I think that could be... Right, and the discrepancy was there that he indicated that in 1997, when his first incident took place of being stopped and beaten by government authorities, is that they took his documents and took his card in 1997. And in the testimony, Mr. Koppel testified otherwise, stating that he was, and that the reason, and that it was a mistake. But we submit that there were substantial evidence here with the documents, with the police certificate stating that that the government was unable to protect him from his father's and family's past involvement in the political arena for the Democratic Party against what now in place of the communist regime, that he was politically involved. I mean, some of the other things that the immigration judge stated was this relied on was this family register that, for some reason, listed his date of birth wrongly. So I think some of the documents or emphasis that the immigration judge looked at were minor discrepancies. And if you take the testimony in its entirety, it was consistent testimony, and the fact that it was not refuted at all by the government, he has a compelling case for asylum, and we submit that the immigration judge's decision should be overturned. And I'd like to save my remaining time.
May it please the court. I'm John Andre for the respondent. In reality, there were many more than two or three discrepancies in the evidence. The immigration judge pointed out no fewer than nine inconsistencies and discrepancies in the documents that were submitted. The first one being the 1998 newspaper article in the Republica publication, supposedly written by an eyewitness to the account of the uncle's shooting and killing. The newspaper article mentioned nothing about Mr. Koppel being present at the accident scene. So that's an inconsistency there. I'm sorry. Well, it's definitely an inconsistency with respect to his claim that he was on the scene, and I think it's important to keep in mind that the newspaper article was submitted in order to support his testimony, and in that respect it didn't support it at all. It only supported the claim that the uncle was killed, but not that he was there with him. There was an inconsistency. There was also a 2001 article which appears on page 281 of the record, which basically is a pretty much a recitation of Mr. Capa's asylum claim. But there were numerous errors in the article, including an indication that Mr. Capo himself had been killed, which obviously was not true. So with errors like that in the evidence, it calls into question the reliability of the evidence as a whole. His Democratic membership card, which was issued in 2000, there was no explanation as to why he could not have gotten a card earlier than that. He claimed to have lost the card, but there was no explanation as to why he couldn't get a card sooner than the year 2000 after he had actually already come to the United States. Another thing that was pointed out by the immigration judge was that the photograph on the birth certificate, on the membership card, was also the same photograph that was on the birth certificate, supposedly two different documents that were issued by two different authorities bearing the same photograph. Also calls into question the genuineness of these documents. The birth certificate appears on page 227 of the record. The membership card appears on pages 239 and 240. There was a police report that gave the incorrect date of the uncle's killing. It was 2 days off. And again, it may seem like a minor discrepancy, but this is supposedly an official police report, and one would think that if it's a police report, it would get the date correct. But it was not consistent with the date that he gave for the uncle's killing. The problems with the family register, the information about Mr. Capo's birth date was supposedly based on a 1974 register, but his birth date was in 1977, and his sister's birth date was in 79. So there's no explanation as to how a 1974 register could include information about somebody who was born after 1974. The same thing applies to his birth certificate, again, supposedly based on a 1974 record. It lists his birth as occurring in 1977. And finally, one of the most significant inconsistencies is the altered date on the Democratic Party certificate. And this is a certificate that was supposedly verifying his persecution. It initially bore a date of 1997, which was copied over to reflect the year 2000. When Mr. Capo was asked about this at his hearing, his first reaction was to blame it on a 2.5-year-old nephew. And I think if the court has an opportunity to look at this document, it's on page 224, it's, I think, very clear to see that this is not writing that could be from a 2.5-year-old child. This is somebody actually taking a pen and tracing over the 1997 date to change it to 2000. Finally, there was the inconsistency between the witness testimony and the newspaper article. The newspaper article indicated that Mr. Capa's uncle was in the construction business, and the witness did not actually know the uncle's occupation. He said he was a farmer, but that was inconsistent with the newspaper article. So that's no fewer than 9 inconsistencies, and they're not minor inconsistencies because they all have to do, they're all submitted to support in his claim of persecution. So I don't think Mr. Capo can just sweep these away as being minor inconsistencies.
Do any of the inconsistencies undermine Capo's position that his uncle was murdered, in a politically motivated murder?
I think that probably it's fairly consistent. He's presented fairly consistent evidence that his uncle was murdered. We definitely contest that it was politically motivated. There was no indication at all in the newspaper articles or any of the other reliable evidence that he submitted that it was politically motivated murder. In fact, one of the central points that the immigration judge brought out was that the newspaper articles were consistent in saying that nobody knew who the murderers were. Their identities were never established. So if you don't know who did it, then it's definitely impossible to know why they did it, because there's no basis for concluding one way or the other. Well, again, if he's claiming that it's politically motivated, he needs to have, particularly in light of the problems with his documents, he needs to have some support for that claim. The burden is on him. I think counsel mentioned that he believed that the government had some burden to refute his testimony and his evidence, and that's not true. The burden is on Mr. Capo to present persuasive evidence that he has been a victim of persecution. Only with respect to the unreliable documents, and if the documents are unreliable, then the immigration judge is properly discounts that evidence. Well, I believe there is a certificate. The certificate by the Democratic Party, which indicated persecution, and that was the certificate that actually had the altered date on it. So that's something that certainly is not reliable. That appears on page. Yes, I'm sorry that we certainly wouldn't contest that he had some involvement in the party, but I may have mistaken the question. I thought the question went more to whether he was persecuted because of his involvement in the party, and there's no reliable evidence of that.
So you don't expect us to believe this because there's a difference in the newspaper article, or he says, i.e. the newspaper article is accurate.
Is Your Honor speaking in...
You don't believe that all newspaper articles are the gospel truth?
No, certainly not. certainly not in the...
Yes, he was saying that his recitation of the facts are different than what's in the article.
No, and the focus is more on the inconsistency rather than which version is true. And it may well be that he was. I'm sorry, he what?
As to the date of the event recorded in his mind as contrasted with what's in the paper.
Yes, then, for instance, the discrepancy between the account of his uncle's occupation. Now, it may well be that he was a farmer, and the newspaper was wrong in saying that he was in. Yeah, that it may well be, but the focus of the government's argument here and the immigration judge's decision is that there's an inconsistency. I mean, he's presenting two forms of evidence, one testimony and one documentary evidence, and they just don't jive with each other. Thank you.
I think there is evidence in the record to suggest that it was politically motivated with respect to his uncle. His uncle, it was testified to that his uncle was a leader in the area with the Democratic Party, and his father was the head of the Democratic Party in the city where they resided. And to have, past incidents with respect to Mr. Capo, past incidents with his father, and given the situation that was in Albania at that time and currently today, to have 30 bullets put into a car for no reason. You know, there would have to be some reason why they would do that. I think just to state that it was to rob or anything like that, where there's no evidence of any type of robbery, I would submit that it was politically motivated due to the history of that family and the history of Mr. Koppel himself. Again, the inconsistencies in many of the cases I would submit are minor. The dates, where there's an inconsistent date in one police and in one newspaper, and there's however in another newspaper article on Sunday this week, which would have been the 24th, shows there's some consistency. The fact that the newspaper article did not know who murdered his uncle, I think, is irrelevant. Many times, we don't know who the murderer is. They may have a speculation to it, but it was not submitted in the newspaper. I don't think is proof of itself that they don't have some inkling of whether or not it was politically motivated. And I don't think that information is all that important. I think what is important is that there was a witness who basically corroborated Mr. Koppel's testimony with respect to the incident where his uncle was murdered. And it was consistent, and I submit that the immigration judge gave cursory review over that incident and just looked on the minor inconsistencies. Thank you.